This is a Collider.com audio interview.
We should be like,
we've only got 15 minutes because Jenna's back on camera.
But Abby can stay longer, maybe.
Can you say your name so we can distinguish your voices on the machines, please?
Abby Cornish.
Jenna Malone.
The accent kind of gives it away, too. I'll just say mate at the end of every sentence.
Today?
Yeah, because we saw it.
You guys came in the worst time in the world. I like hadn't done it with like the lighting and... the dance today is crazy. Each of us girls, except for Emily, because her dance becomes the key point to the tipping off of the fantasy worlds. So each have our own sort of burlesque dance that is like our persona coming out, and all of the different icons that we represent. And mine's sort of the nurse, because that's the first time that Baby Doll sees me, is I'm done up as a nurse, and... it's a crazy, like, dead, you know, zombie robot nurse dance. It's awesome. For the pole and...
Yeah, we kind of like it.
It's pretty wild. It's going to be so crazy. It's going to be awesome.
We heard that you guys went through some pretty rigorous training and diet and guns and martial arts and all that stuff. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, we started off in Los Angeles, and we spent a month there. And we'd go out to 8711, and we'd train in the morning for 3 hours martial arts, you know, warm up and warm down. And then we'd have like a half-hour break and have our protein shakes and our vitamins and our amino acids and stuff. And
then Logan and Dave would take over, the Navy SEALs, our physical trainers, our weight and strength advisors on life.
And train us like maniacs, like, you know. And then after...
About an hour and a half.
Yeah, about an hour and a half. And then with Logan and Dave, we'd also do gun work as well, which was so much fun. And then when we came to Vancouver, it was pretty much the same schedule, but we were learning more about of the moves that we'd actually use in the film and the choreography for the film, and just kind of everything ramped up once we got here.
And right. And then on top of the martial arts, you know, weapons, strength training, then we were doing costume and walking through the sets and, you know, meeting with Zach. And so it was a really like a full-on rehearsal schedule. But for me, what's so interesting is that the first 3 months that the three of us girls were training together, Abby and Vanessa were, Jamie and Vanessa didn't come in until, like, August?
I think it would have been, end of August.
End of August.
Or mid-August, yeah.
But that was really, that was really the crazy, that was the rehearsal, was all three of us girls sweating, crying, figuring out what our pain threshold was all together. And in a weird way, it was like an asylum, you know, is that, you know, we could eat at a very specific time. We had to push ourselves to the limits. We were wearing these kind of, you know, sweat uniforms and being instructed, and everything was a, you know, a regimen. So in a weird way, I mean, I know it was probably a roundabout way for Zach, but it was a far more interesting style of rehearsing, which is getting to know the physical body of the character, the character's pain threshold is, how you can work together as a team, you know, seeing each other at very, you know, horrible moments where I'm doing like my 20th farmer's carry and I'm like freaking sobbing and I'm like, okay, I can do this. And you want to do it for the other girls, and you all kind of become strong together, which I think any form of round the table, reading the scenes, you know, trying to figure out who you were, we never would have got to the point of closeness and how connected we are without that first 3 months.
And it was such an unspoken thing that we went through. I mean, we would sit and talk about it, and you know, but there was so many moments where we were all just going hard, doing this thing we were doing. And I mean, for me in particular, during those 3 months, there was this feeling inside me that it, you know, was almost zen-like, so peaceful, because, you know, coming in and doing martial arts and working out and learning how to use a gun. I mean, you have to be so careful with a gun, you know. Yeah. It's a deadly weapon. And so there was something very focused about that process, very sort of like determined and disciplined, and you know, just to be able to exert that much energy, you know, and let it out every single day and learn all this new cool stuff. It was really fun.
Well, is it harder to rehearse a musical sequence or a fight?
Oh, this is the most terrifying thing I've done the entire film. I mean, I could shoot orcs until my fingers fall off, and I could be in the gym, you know, doing deadlifts until my body gives out. But this dance is totally terrifying me because it's something totally different, you know? It's you have to get out of your mind, which is what they've been training us, is the, you know, physical discipline, mental discipline, and get back into the body, you know, the rhythm, the sex, the breath, which is kind of a hard thing to, you know, we were doing the fighting sequence in the morning and, you know, you're there with a thing and you're all pumped up with your guns and then you just have to let it all go and remember your languid, you know, like the languid curves and the softness of the body too.
And it really has been like being in some, you know, you were saying before, an institution of some sort because, and because we're learning so much and it's not just one thing we're learning, you know. I mean, all the stuff that we mentioned on top of singing and dancing and, you know, it's just crazy. I know in week two of training, I felt like a stunt person.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like
absolutely.
An actor at all, you know.
It's a standby job now.
Yeah.
Sure. We could definitely do it.
We'll
definitely.
We'll be paratrooping next week.
Awesome.
Can you guys talk a little bit about your character's relationship to Baby Doll and, like, the sort of archetypes and how they relate to Baby Doll, like the nurse, Joan of Arc?
Well, it's a little bit more abstract. I mean, for me, you know, I found the character of the nurse to be, you know, it's all through Baby Doll. I understand my character through Baby Doll. I understand the story through Baby Doll because that's the eyes that we're watching the film through. That's where the fantasies take place. That's where, that's the key. That's the truth to the whole, all of these fantastical sequences that we're a part of. So it was just as simple as the first time Baby Doll saw me was I was in, you know, I was in a nurse, this costume, and there's something that takes care, and there's nurturing there, and you know, I mean, it's just as simple as that, and that sort of becomes the archetype that I fulfill in her mind. You know, she kind of creates me in a way.
It's interesting too because, you know, we're playing these characters, yet you see these characters in all different dimensions and worlds and things, and so for me, at the beginning, it was about trying to come to some sort of understanding about how you portray the one character, you know, regardless of the world, and you know, creating a through line of one journey. But it's like also the question of what do you show in these different worlds, you know? And I think at first I was struggling with that a little bit, and then I felt like a great sense of freedom in that, you know, when I was in the psych ward, I can be Sweet Pea in the psych ward. When I'm in action world, it's Sweet Pea in action world, and to try, like, let myself go in those worlds, you know, and trust in the character and trust in the story. And but it's interesting. I mean, it's like, you know, I feel like my character is a cube, and each different day I'm, like, turning the cube and looking at a different side, but it's just the one cube, you know. Mm-hmm. It's been really fun.
So we got to see some footage from the World War One fight.
Oh, yeah.
There was a cool, I mean, obviously it was all awesome, but there was a cool beat in there where your character was surrounded and she's saved, and there's a beat between the two women where, between the action, where they sort of like, you look like you're going to break down. You know,
yeah,
like you
I was
like
kind of disappointed with myself.
Like,
I was like,
a moment of like reassurance between these characters. Can you talk about finding the balance between playing these sort of like kick-ass women and also inserting those moments of like vulnerability and character?
Well, I think really, really that's a tribute to Zack Snyder and the script, is that he was really adamant about finding, you know, these characters amongst absolutely, you know, crazy feats of strength and confidence and, you know, out of this world action, but in the midst of it being like, I just, you know, I messed it up. I'm sorry. You know, like, you know, why did you have to go and run off again? You know what I mean? Yeah. That there's still the women that we know in the other worlds, but that it's not just all action. It's humanistic. It's kind of very realistic. And you know, Zach was always, when we'd go through the script, he'd say, "All right, maybe there's something here," you know. Mm-hmm. And also he allows us to develop things on our feet. You know, like if there's a little look that we can give before we cross an archway, then he allows those moments to happen of like adding the characters to the fantasy. You know.
Yeah, and also to. Just story-wise, you know, like I know for me in World War One, it was very much about Sweet Pea worrying about Rocket.
Yeah,
I mean, she's only there for her. She's only doing this because of her. And so throughout that whole World War One, you know, everything we did in that, that's what I carried as my character's intention was, where's my sister? What's she doing? Keeping an, like, you know, kind of
Sweet Pea
Rocket.
That's how we find each other on set. We just like start screaming.
You know, and so it's kind of fun too, because even though you're off in this killing crazy martial arts world, the story still
exists.
Yeah. And so, you know.
So this is a period piece, but obviously Zach is not just sticking with 1967. So you guys as actors, your choice is based on sort of what would a girl in 67 be thinking, or are you just taking a modern approach to it and just doing it however works best for you?
Well, I think that's all really pigeonholing when you think, okay, what would a girl 1967 talk like? It's like, well, they talk the same. You know, they may not use as a modern vernaculars, you know, saying like all the time or something, maybe our sort of ghetto slang, but we haven't really changed that much. I mean, I always find that really dangerous, is when you're doing a period piece, is trying to act the period, because then it's not tangible, it's not human, you know, and you just want to see humans up there regardless of the era, you know. The period will speak for itself, because that's the confinement that as humans we find ourselves in the corsets or the asylum outfits or our hairdos or the makeup. It's all part of those elements that bring out something new in you, you know.
Yeah, and I mean the 60s, you know, weren't that long ago, but I think even if you go back to, you know, 1600, it's like if you just deal with the character from a very human level, you know, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the real world, or as close to the real world as we get in this, why are you in the asylum to begin with? Was that in the script, or was that...
That's something that we sort of came up with. I mean, it's hinted at in the script, but it's a little bit more vague to allow people to fill in what they want. Can we talk about that? Yeah.
I guess the question is, how much backstory did you get and how much did you discuss with Zach and how much freedom did he give you?
Ultimate freedom, but I mean, he also does have the final say. I mean, he's a collaborator at his heart. I mean, that's all, you know, that's what he brings. That's what is so exciting about this. Is it's whatever Abby brings and whatever I bring, and then what also whatever the moment can bring, and that maybe to try things out. I mean, back history has been something that we've been allowed to work on, the script works on, and it works on us.
Yeah.
Because actually just being in it and finding things and having the trust that all of the girls have from training together, it really brings out a whole different level of intimacy of what you can draw upon, instead of just talking about the theory of, well, maybe I wore red and maybe there was a spider when I was younger. You know what I mean? It becomes way more human and animalistic, the approach of how to find the connection between the girls, you know?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about your reaction when you first saw the costume you're going to be wearing? And for example, like the photo right behind you. You guys were a lot, there's a, I guess, five or six costume changes and, you know, all the different action sequences. But could you talk about the costumes you wear and, you know, the revealing nature and your reaction to them?
I thought mine wasn't revealing enough. I got on set and all these girls had their thighs out and their legs out, and I was like, I'm covered in fishnets. Give me some more skin. It's so weird. It was the first time in my whole life where I felt, like, covered up in my underwear.
That's an early camera test photo. So they did
that's the very first time we all got in our outfits.
I know. Yeah. I did totally different hair.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. I mean, you know, we're nothing but our various forms of underwear, but yet again, it goes back to trust. You know, it goes back to, you know, I mean, obviously the early fittings with Michael were a little intimidating.
Yeah.
And it was before we started training, so I was like, all right, well, let's just see what my thighs look like in 7 months and, you know, hope for the best.
Yeah, and it is weird. You do, like, you
look
know.
At your bruise.
There was so many bruises. But you get kind of used to it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, this outfit for me now is just like a second skin, that action outfit. But I don't know. We've been wearing that stuff for so long. It's like, I don't know.
Everyone's so respectful on set.
Yeah, exactly. We're working
with an
amazing crew.
All the guys are really, really considerate and gentlemanlike.
Yeah. Can you talk about sort of how frightening it is to take on a movie where you have to shoot guns, do martial arts, dance, wear skimpy outfits, and then do serious dramatic scenes? I mean, this is like five different movies you're doing.
Yeah, but I mean, you were like frothing at the mouth
totally.
From excitement. I mean,
yeah.
Fear is right there with excitement. I mean, if you don't have both inside of your body, then what are you doing? You know, if you don't have that, oh my God, I'm going to die, but I also can't wait to be a part of it, then yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we were all so keen and eager and excited, you know, to embark on this. On this film, and it's kind of fulfilled everything for all of us, I think. You know,
one more sequence left. Man.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I know. It's really weird to be sitting here and being in the, you know, on the final leg of
stages,
it.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of audiences, Zack Snyder from 300 is like this macho dude director. They sort of see that big, you know, testosterone kind of thing.
No,
this is obviously an incredibly female-centered film. You know, does Zack? I'm assuming you wouldn't sign on. Zack didn't get. Sort of women. How does that work? I mean, this guy telling this female story. You know, how does he tap into that female side?
Well, I think Zack himself is just such an open person. I think he's very much in touch with his femininity as much as he is his masculine
Absolutely.
Side, and he's very sensitive and very caring, and you know, he sees and feels a lot and.
And the script speaks for itself. I mean, you know, if we didn't feel like if I read the script and I felt, well, God, he has no idea what he's talking about, then I don't think any of us would be here. But you know, the trust was built in from reading it too, is knowing that he's exploring so many different levels of female archetypes and allowing them to break and bend and expose themselves, and you know, amazing different forms of strength built with insecurity, and allowing women to be kind of these really fully fleshed characters. I mean, in a way, I was thinking about it like they could literally be men or women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in an action film, you're so used to seeing these men and these characters and these things, but literally, we could almost be sexless if it wasn't for, you know, the specificity of the world that we're in, which is. Brothel, like
yeah.
insane asylum for girls.
Yeah, and that and the abuse that centers around that sexuality and
yeah.
stuff as well. But it's I mean, the thing about Zack is that I've found really fun is he knows what he's doing. He's a great filmmaker. He's super technical and I mean he has this film in his head from start to finish.
Oh yeah.
You know, totally, it's all there, it's all storyboarded, it's all thought out, but at the same time, he's, like, constantly exploring it, and he's very instinctual, so when we're on set, even though he's got his shots worked out, you don't feel, like, confined by that, or restricted by that,
mm-hmm.
you know what I
absolutely,
mean?
Absolutely,
and he's
absolutely.
Always, like, every day is that day, he's so in the moment. I mean, he really is a lot of fun to work with. I've had the most fun on this film than I have on any film.
Yeah.
Great. We have to wrap up there, guys, because I need
cool.
Jenna and hair and makeup. Go.
Hair and makeup.
Thank you, girls.
Thanks very much.
All right, cool. Thanks for coming and visiting.
Well, thanks for having us.
I hope
they're having the time of their lives.
They're feeding well.